words of the scriptures and the hope that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of a loved one causes us to reflect on life and death. Listen to these words from the scriptures. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Those who have put their trust in Christ may take comfort from these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let us begin our time together this morning by joining in song. This is a service of thanksgiving, an opportunity for us to thank God for all that we treasure and appreciate from May's life. May has chosen all of the songs and readings for the service this morning. She put together the photo memorial, which you've seen playing before the service and which will cycle through after the service as well. She updated it as recently as March after her 90th birthday. The first song that May selected for us to sing this morning is I Come to the Garden Alone, a hymn which expresses the relationship May had with the Lord Jesus. She walked with him, she talked with him, she received reassurance from him, she experienced joy with him also. Please stand with me as we sing. Come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And your kindness to us in Jesus gives us reason for thanksgiving. And even as we remember and acknowledge the loss of one loved by us, We give you thanks that Jesus died on the cross that we might be forgiven, and that Jesus rose from the dead that may also could rise from the dead and be with you already. We thank you for the precious promises of your word. We praise you for the light of the gospel. We acknowledge your sovereign will and your infinite compassion. Look upon us in our sorrow, we pray, and enable us to hear your words so that through patience and the comfort of the scriptures we may have hope. We pray that you will help us to hold firm our confidence in your forgiving mercy. And we pray that you would give us the assurance of eternal life through the Lord Jesus, who bore our sins in his own body on the cross, who rose from the dead, and who lives seated at your right hand in heaven. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to stand to sing again another special favorite song of May's. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, May was a praying person because she knew that the bigger problems of life can only find answers and help in God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Some words on behalf of the family, and firstly I'd like to call on Neville, who was the pastor of the Nanango Uniting Church where May worshipped for many years, to deliver the eulogy which May has written. Thank you, Neville.
May was always prepared, ready. May Irene Templeton was born on the 14th of March 1927. She was the eldest of three children, a sister, Una, who recently passed away, and a brother, Terry, who's with us today. Growing up, they lived at Hunters Hill, Sydney. May went to Gladsville Primary School and then Riverside Girls High School. May remembered coming home from choir one Sunday night to see her mother and father very distressed. It was 1939 and war had been declared. It was during her second year at high school that the family moved to Padstow, when her father had a poultry farm. It was here that she finished high school and then studied at Campside Business College. May began work at the Road Transport Department, and it was here that she met Sid, just prior to his joining the Air Force. On final leave, 4 years later, May and Sid were married in 1946. In the early years of their life together, they joined the Boy Scouts Association. May was a Lady Cubmaster of 1st Panania Group for a number of years. Some time was spent at the Scout Training Camp at Pennant Hill, where Sid was camp warden. While here, May worked with the accounts at Advocate Press in Hornsby, bushwalking, camping, fishing, and motorbike touring of New South Wales filled their life. In 1955, they purchased their first home in Canley Vale. It was here that they adopted their first son, Glenn, in 1958, and later adopted a second son, Chris, known to most as Jock, in 1961. Both Sid and May became Christians here and worked as counsellors for the Billy Graham Crusade in 1959. In 1962, they went to work for the Bush Church Aid Society, an Anglican hostel in Moree. Here they were looking after 24 high school boys, lucky them, during the school term. May enjoyed doing the cooking and playing mum. It was both an exciting and busy time, she remembers. Sid's recurring illness brought another change, and they moved to Tamworth, followed by a further move to Mackay in 1970. Here, Sid worked on a newspaper for a short time before moving again to Bundaberg to work at the Bundaberg News Mail as a sub-editor. It was here in Bundaberg that May first became an RE teacher for 12 years in several primary schools in the Bundaberg area. In 1980, they moved from Bundaberg to Elliot Head. May continued with RE teaching and enjoyed many years with the Salvation Army at their home league meetings each week. You can get this picture of a lady who has an incredible faith in God, no matter where God is, and it's amazing. Both Sid and May joined the Elliot Head Bowls Club then and continued playing and enjoying bowls until their death. Whilst in bowls, May served in many positions: provider, treasurer, secretary, president, and district secretary of the South Burnett District when they were in Nanango. After 8 years and too many items going rusty, May and Sid decided to move again. This time they moved inland to Nanango, They became active members in the Uniting Church there. In 1991, May was elected an elder and became, these are my words, my right-hand man in keeping the records and taking on the role of contacting family on the anniversary of somebody's death. She loved doing pastoral work and was a wonderfully capable elder. She remained an elder until they decided to move here to Toowoomba in 2001. They moved into the Bridge Street Resort Village, where they continued to live, enjoying bowls and the fellowship of the village people. They became active members of the Christian Reformed Church here shortly after their arrival in Toowoomba. Sid died on the 1st of October 2013, and May continued living in the village until her recent death at age 90. A highlight for May in recent months was being able to travel south to celebrate her 90th birthday with her family. And many of us probably got the emails or photos of that wonderful event. And just some words of my own today. We remember May very much as a grandmother, a lovely Christian grandmother, who walked with not only us, but our children and grandchildren over the years. I can remember saying to her once, when she gets to heaven, she's going to have so many jewels in her crown, she won't be able to carry it. She will be rewarded, and has been. Praise God for May.
Now I'd like to call on Terry, May's brother. I'd like to share with us some words about May's early life.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's lovely to see May's family, her Queensland family. I think Neville stole a lot of my thunder, but you'll have to forgive me if I repeat some things. As you've heard, my real name is Terence Templeton, but everyone knows me as Terry, so please, Terry's the word. I'm the baby brother, 10 years junior to May. So, and my Yuna was 8 years my senior. So I was the spoilt little boy. Not really. It's lovely to see Joy there too. I've been asked to talk about May's early life. Now, Neville said she was born in 27. She was born at Lidcombe in New South Wales, a western suburbs town. May was born there. And they moved to Hunters Hill, where I was born, quite some years later. My favourite photo was there today. The two little urchins. There was some bush around the house there, or not around the house, but just nearby at Hunters Hill. Now, you wouldn't think the bush would be there at Hunters Hill, but there is, and the little urchins got into there. So that photo in front of the fence of our house, with their bare feet, grubby clothes, grubby feet, that was a prize photo. May was about 9 and Yuna was about 7. Now, I was the baby then. We moved from Hunters Hill when I was only 3. So the stories that I'm about to tell you is a hand-me-down. We used to have a lot of cousins, a lot of aunties and uncles that used to stay with us. Because at that time, Mum's mother and father were staying with us at Hunters Hill. So I had a lot of uncles, a lot of aunties. So one time was a cousin, Colin, was with Yuna and May, and they wanted to show him their bushland where they played. Colin was about the same age. They went down through this bush. They could hear all this noise, raucous noise from men laughing and shouting going on. So they crept up and they saw this group of men. They didn't like the scene, so they panicked, a little bit terrified, ran home. Dad had to calm them down. He said, "That's all right, they're only playing two up." That was the game they were doing in the bush at Huddersfield. It's hard to imagine. Yeah. Of course, as Neville mentioned, All Saints Church at Huddersfield was a major part of May's early life. Then we moved to Padstow. May was 13, Una 11, and I was 3 in 1940. And that's where Dad established his poultry farm. Padstow is about 20 k's southwest of Sydney in 1940, very rural area. 5-acre farms, market gardens, predominantly poultry farms. There were dirt roads, wet gutters, and there's not many shops. Maybe there was a corner shop, a couple of corner shops down in the actual town. But Dad established his poultry farm, and everyone was always busy. 3,000 chooks. That was a lot of collecting of eggs. There was a lot of washing of eggs, and there was a lot of packing of eggs. So we knew all about poultry farms. As May in her eulogy, her own eulogy said that she finished her school her last year, third year at Bankstown Central School. And that's where I started school. So I was still able to start with May and Una taking me to school. I can still recall vividly the little bus that used to run from Padstow into Bankstown, some about 4 k's or something like that it was. And it's the little bus that you quite often see on the TV these days, photographed in England. You know, the little tiny bus with a little engine out the front, bonnet type of thing. And Wally was the driver. I'll always remember May and Una and me on Wally's bus. Of course, we're also very much involved with the Padstow Church, the Padstow Anglican at that time, which isn't too far away. And, need I say, still involved with Padstow Anglican Church. So as far as I'm goes, that's 77 years. So, been a long time. May said her first job was the Department of Motor Transport. She was a clerical person there with a typewriter. She enjoyed it so much she talked her sister into joining. Una couldn't start because she was too young. They wouldn't take them on until they were 16. So Una was involved with our farm. She worked with Dad doing all the hard works. Now, mentions there where she met Sid. Sid was already working at the motor transport. They got married in that 1946. May was only 19. But she couldn't resist the handsome young signalman in the Air Force. Wasn't exactly their first home, but Dad subdivided a block of land off our 5 acres at the front and gifted it to May and Sid, and they built a little temporary dwelling. In those days, our area out at Padstow, there was quite a lot of people couldn't afford to build their house straight away, so they had their garage built first. But it wasn't a car in the garage, it was set up as a little kitchen and a bedroom, and May and Sid started off life very close to us at Padstow, next door in fact. But then, of course, as she says in the letter, there's a lot of changes. The scouting was a big part of their life. Sidney was the district commissioner, actually, of East Hills, which is all our little suburbs around that area. And, of course, the Cubs, the move up to Pennant Hills. It was a long way to ride up to Pennant Hills, but I used to love riding bikes. So I'd ride the bike up the hill, very substantial hill, all the way to Pennant Hills, probably 20 k's, and used to spend weekends up there. So very very nice up at Pennant Hills. As we've said here, Sid realised he had a flair for journalism, so there was a few places there. I don't know whether May mentioned Wagga, but there was Wagga. Of course, she said the Hornsby, where May worked herself in the newspaper up there. But they were the first bikie ones, Sid. My other brother-in-law, Eunice's husband, he was a bikie as well. They had their bikes well before these days with the colours. There's nothing like that. They were gentlemen riders. But Sid used to have his green VSA and he had a sidecar and they used to go off wherever. So, and the two sisters with their husbands on their motorbikes had a lovely time. It's mentioned here about the March visit. It was marvellous that May, the Lord gave her the strength to come down to Sydney and be with us as a family. She spent quite a few really precious days with Una. Una was in a nursing home and very low at that time. But they had plenty of memories and photos to talk about, and they had Jimmy Little to play and listen to, Gary. And best of all, Una was able to attend May's 90th birthday. We had that at the local club, the Reesby Workers, which is a huge club. And Gary, strong man he is, he wheeled Una in a wheelchair. So she was with us. There was 23 relatives and two very close friends. Anne and her husband were there too. Anne's a goddaughter of May. May's goddaughter, something like that. But it was a lovely party. And May really, I think, enjoyed herself. But it took a lot out of her, I think. Her health wasn't real good, but she put on a marvellous face. And we quite enjoyed her company. We know then, it was only just a few weeks later than that, that my dear other sister passed away. May was very upset that she couldn't come down to the service because she herself was in hospital. But we know that she was in the chapel at St Andrews with our dear cousin Joy and other cousin Wendy. I just can't see, but she must be here somewhere. That was a bit sad at that time. I just want to mention something about the significance of the tartan. A little piece of lace on the casket here. My other sister had that tartan draped on her casket. It signifies our connection with Scotland. My father's mother and father, our grandfather, came from Ardrossan in the 1800s, late 1800s. And so that's our Irvine tartan. The Templeton ilk is part of the Irvine clan. The other connection is a piece of lace. It's from Germany. My mother's family immigrated from Germany. Her grandfather came out to South Australia in 1847. So that signifies that little bit of lace is our connection with the German people. Thank you.
I can attest to what you said about May having so wished that she could have come down for Una's funeral. I visited with her in hospital and she was not thinking about herself and her own medical struggle. She was thinking about how she wished that she could have been there. She knew she couldn't. She'd been given strict instructions by Glenn and Jock that she wasn't to come at any cost. She was in hospital and the medical staff said exactly the same thing, but she would have loved to have been there. I'd like to ask Anne, May's goddaughter, who has a few words to speak on behalf of Wynne from the village where May's been living.
Hi. Firstly, I do just have a few words that I wanted to say before I read Wynne's words out. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Anne. I'm Auntie May's goddaughter, and I would just like to mention Fiona, Auntie May's other goddaughter and niece. What an amazing privilege we have both had to share such an amazing godmother. Aunty May and Uncle Sid and my parents first became friends back in the late 1950s, before Chris, Glenn and I were even born. They attended the same church together in Canley Vale, which is in the western suburbs of Sydney. Our fathers were wardens in the church together, and with our mothers, the four became lifelong friends. In 1960, when I was born, you can all do the maths now, I was given the most precious gift of having both Aunty May and Uncle Sid as my godparents. Who could have asked for better godparents? I really scored. They were the epitome of what grandparents should be. Today we are saying goodbye to the most important woman in my world, my beautiful godmother. There since the day I was born, from as long as I can remember, from being a child to an adult, she would always listen to my stories, good and bad, without prejudice or judgment or ridicule. She would always just silently wipe my tears. Her arms were always open and we would laugh till our sides hurt. Through marriages, divorce and babies, she has been my rock. Only a few weeks ago, we drank champagne, told stories and laughed while celebrating her 90th birthday. I can't believe she's gone. I can't imagine my life without her. In it. I know I'm grieving and I know time heals. I just have to ride the storm. I know I will come out the other side. I just hope the storm doesn't turn into a cyclone. Auntie May had a very strong Christian faith, as we all know. I do find peace knowing she is now where she knew she would be. My last memory of Auntie May is at her 90th. At the end of her party and saying our goodbyes, she told me she was going to get Glenn to stop at the bottle shop to buy her a bottle of Moscato. I looked at her and I actually raised my eyebrows, as I knew she didn't drink very much. I'm 90, she said, you know, I'm celebrating. We've all left, going our separate ways. We've pulled up at a set of traffic lights to turn left to go home, as Glenn and Barb pull up next to us at the same set of traffic lights to turn right. I look over to see Aunty May sitting in the back, holding up her brown paper bag and going like this at me. That last memory makes me smile every day. Aunty May, you will be forever in my heart and in my thoughts. Before I step down, I have the privilege of reading something from Aunty May's friend, Wyn. Wyn lives in the village and they have been best friends for the last 15 years. This is from Wyn. A tribute to May. May was a beautiful lady, kind and helpful in every way she could be. Right from the time that May and Sid came into the village, May looked for things to do to make this place a more enjoyable and happy one. She joined in with everything going. When our village was smaller, we had a little concerts and so on. One I remember, we were playing some of the nursery rhymes, each playing one. May was Mary, as in Mary had a little lamb, and had a little toy lamb and dressed as a schoolgirl with a hat and two black pigtails. No one recognised her. May looked after the lawn bowls, did the sweeps for our Melbourne Cup Day, spent time on the committees, played bingo until her eyes got too bad. She always attended the meetings, meals and the barbecues. May will be very much missed for her smiling face by all the villagers, as well as her church and the legacy ladies at the Hoy morning tea. She was a wonderful friend to everyone.
Thanks for in the life of May. And the next song that May selected for us to sing this morning is a song called In His Time. God makes all things beautiful in their time. And it was our great privilege to see May's beauty, to see and know that, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight in His time. Let's remain seated to sing. may wanted us to include the words of question and answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism in her order of service this morning, because it allows her to speak to us about her comfort, her only comfort in life and in death, which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if she were here with us this morning, she would want you to know that same comfort. So I'd like to invite you to stand, and I'm going to ask the question, and I invite you to respond with the answer. Would you please stand? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Please remain standing. We're going to sing in just a moment the next hymn that May's chosen for us. May knew what it was like to experience hardships and trials. She often felt very weary with the treatment that she was receiving for her chronic lymphatic leukemia. But she often told me that she felt at peace about the future, for she knew her life was in the Lord's hands. About a year and a half ago, we reflected on that together, and she shared with me a reading from her Scripture Union reading booklet for the day from Charles Spurgeon, who said, "If we do not suffer, how can God be glorified in our lives?" But we can face suffering because of the confidence in God which is expressed in the next song May's chosen. "In Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand."
Thank you.
to invite Wendy to come forward and lead us in one of the readings that May has chosen this morning from Psalm 61, the first four verses. Thank you, Wendy.
This is a very apt verse for May. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings.
The other text that May has given us is from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. You find it in your order of service as well there. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I mentioned before that May chose all of the songs and readings and the words from the catechism. She produced her own photo memorial. She wrote her own eulogy. And she let us know that this text from Revelation 2 was her confirmation vow when she went through confirmation in what she described as the Church of England. What amazing preparation, what preparedness for her family. As Neville said before, be prepared, the Scout motto. But that was our May. Jock was just telling me this morning how she was visiting Una in hospital, and the lady next door in the same room was struggling, and she said that she was hungry, and May said, well, shall I feed you? The food was there, and she said yes, and so May fed the next door labour. And as Jock said, how many people would feed a random stranger in hospital these days? But that was May, always thinking of others. The only thing May didn't do this morning was write my message, but disappointed about that. But she gave us these precious words, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. A crown of life, it's a beautiful image, isn't it? You can picture it in your mind, even though you've never seen what it looks like. A crown of life. These words that May was given as part of her confirmation vow were spoken by Jesus to some people who lived in an ancient Greek city called Smyrna, located on the coast of what would now be modern-day Turkey. It was a beautiful city. A famous thoroughfare called the Street of Gold curved around Mount Pagus that towered some 150 metres above the harbour, like a necklace, a powerful citadel at the top. You can imagine that picture in your mind, the Street of Gold curved around like a necklace. I'm sure it looked stunning. And the locals thought it was stunning too. They described it as their crown. And now Jesus writes to the people living there, these words that May was given, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus is saying to these people who are struggling and having a hard life, as stunning as your local crown looks, I have something more beautiful, immensely more stunning than you have ever seen. I have in store for you a crown of life. It's like the laurel wreath given to athletes in the ancient Olympics. Except it's only better because it doesn't wither or fade away. It endures. It lasts forever. Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's given to all who remain faithful, to all who stand firm, to all who persevere through times of testing. And that describes our May down to a T. She never turned back. After committing her life to Jesus at that Billy Graham crusade almost 60 years ago. And as I visited her over the last few years, on many occasions May expressed that confidence and that peace that she had about the future because she knew that her life was in the Lord's hands. She was very conscious of God's care for her, and she often mentioned to me the small things that she saw around him that were evidence of God's love and care. She never asked for the trials to go away. She just asked me to pray that God would help her to accept them, and that he would give her the strength to cope with the challenges of declining health. and God did. Sometimes May wished that her husband Sid was still with her, but unselfish as she was, she then said she was glad that he wasn't, because he'd probably have worried about her as she went through her treatment. May was faithful until death. She took comfort in the promises of God and knew that to depart to be with Christ was better by far, even though for the last few years of her life she wasn't ready for that to happen yet. She was convinced, she told me, she was convinced that God still had work for her to do here on this earth. That was at 89 years of age. Even as I visited her on the day she passed away, on the morning of that day, she had that same thought in mind. I'm not sure that my work is yet done. But now her work is complete. And in one sense, our Thanksgiving service this morning is her final work for the Lord. And that's why she put a lot of time and effort into planning our service today, not just as a kindness to her sons, to Glenn and to Jock, although it was a kindness to her, but because she wanted one last opportunity to remind all of us, her family and friends, that there is life in Jesus and hope in Jesus, because Jesus rose from the dead after paying for our sins upon the cross. Hope in Jesus for all who look to him in faith and receive him as Lord of their lives. That is what life is, and that's the sort of life that May experienced. Her earthly work is now complete. For now she has received the crown of life, eternal life that God has promised to anyone, to everyone who has put their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus. And I think I can see the thoughts in May's mind as she connected this confirmation vow text to the reading she chose that Wendy read for us before from Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For now, our dearly beloved sister, mother, godmother, aunt and cousin has taken final refuge in the shelter of God's wings. May long to dwell in God's presence forever. And on Saturday the 29th of April, that longing became reality. And she departed to be with Christ, which is better by far. Words that I had read to her only that morning. And from the grave, May's voice still speaks. May's voice calls to you today. She's calling, she's beckoning. She's beckoning, come join me, she's urging you. Come join me in the dwelling place of God. It's so easy. Just put your trust in Jesus. Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. By the grace of God, and in answer to May's prayers, may that be you. Discovering faith in Jesus, new life in Jesus you hadn't imagined possible. Discovering the joy of knowing God and life with him forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you this day our sister May Bennett's. We thank you for giving her to us, to her family and friends, to know and to love. We thank you for your rich and abounding grace, which kept May going and sustained her all the days of her life. And we thank you that you have been her lasting comfort in life and now also in death, which is glory. And you gave May strength to remain faithful until death. Now you have given her the crown of life. We pray, O God, that in your boundless compassion you would comfort us who mourn. Give us faith to see in death the gate of eternal life, so that In confidence we may continue our course on earth until, in your good timing and through faith in the Lord Jesus, we may be reunited with those who have gone before. And so we offer you our prayers this morning through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Crown of life May longed for is hers because of the work of Jesus. May was a lovely person, perhaps the loveliest person that many of us have ever known. But it wasn't her loveliness that brought her peace with God. Her peace with God came in the words of the next song which May has chosen, when she realized at that Billy Graham crusade that Jesus had come to buy her pardon, to forgive her sins, to give her the hope of glory. Because he lives, because Jesus lives, May could face tomorrow. Because he lives, May's fears were gone. Because May knew that Jesus holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Please join me in song as we stand and sing God Sent His Son. Words of final blessing from the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Conclude our Thanksgiving service this morning with the words of Go Silent Friend. Your life has touched us. That is why we mourn you. Our lives without you cannot be the same. Go Silent Friend, we do not grudge your glory. Sing, sing for joy, deep praises to your Lord. You who believe that Christ would come back for you, now celebrate that Jesus keeps his word. Because we know that May trusted in Jesus, we can also know that her struggles and trials are over. She has received her longed for reward. She is with the Lord. She has the crown of life. And we do not grudge that of her, do we? Rather, we give thanks for the times God gave us with her. And we celebrate the promises of Jesus, which come to all through faith in him. Go silent, friend.